If you're a contractor, dealing with contracting officers is always something of a dance. Sometimes you lead, but mostly you need to follow their cues. For this week's Doing Business segment, Larry Allen, principal of Allen Federal Business Partners, has three things he thinks contractors need to know now. And first, you say DoD buyers are going by the book, even though there are some new flexibilities that they have in law. What do you think is happening?
Tom, in discussions I've had since the beginning of the year with buyers from different service branches in the Department of Defense, it appears that they either have not gotten the message about the new flexibilities that they have, or they're really reluctant to be the first ones on their block to try them. So whether it is the ability to conduct a streamlined procurement or have easier access to assisted acquisition services provided by another agency or even inside DOD, there's still a very conservative lot in many places of the Department of Defense, and contractors need to understand that mindset and approach it accordingly.
Is there anything that a contractor can do to convince a contracting officer?
Ultimately, contracting officers will make up their own mind. But if you're a contractor and you know that you can do advanced research work, advanced legwork for your contracting officer to make their life easier, if they need a special form filled out or some sort of unique justification to get to you, you can help create that so that you're making their life a little easier. The number one thing that contractors can do, Tom, is show just how reliable and experienced they are with experience that is as close to the current opportunity they're working on as possible. In a risk-averse environment, really pays off to be the safe choice.
But they don't mind if you come in and say, look, I found this vehicle through which you might be able to do this or this technique. That's okay with a CO in general?
Well, so I think, you know, the first question from the contracting officer's mouth is going to be, where else has this been done? And if we're talking to a Navy contracting officer, they're going to want to know where it's been done in the Navy, if the Army, et cetera. And if you're talking to a DOD contracting officer and your experience is with the state of Indiana, then you're going to have a steeper hill to climb there. So you're going to still find people who are willing to take innovative risks, but I think those are going to be people in DARPA who are working on prototyping projects inside DOD acquisition technology and logistics. Anywhere else, particularly in the service branches, I think you're going to find a very mixed bag on innovation.
Sounds like trust is still an important element that someone can instill in a CO in you as person trying to get a contract from the government.
Well, you're right. Trust is a major factor. It's trusting your contractor if you're a contracting officer. And we've talked about some things that contractors can do to help there. But trust also runs internally inside the agency, Tom. And what I mean by that is that contracting officer may not always feel like their supervisor, their program manager, supports their decisions, whether or not they've had a recent visit from the agency contract audit agency or the IG. You know, those types of things are internal, and they're very real and very difficult for people outside the agency to be able to counterbalance.
And speaking of trust, one of the ways you can really turn people off, I guess, in a hurry is using lots of buzzwords. And I would read a sample of a buzzword pitch that I got for someone that wants to be on the radio. But if I read it, it would give away who it is, so I won't. But you see strung together jargon so much in marketing materials, that doesn't go over too well with contracting officers or program managers or CIOs either, for that matter.
Well, that's right, and this is kind of the cautionary tale. Everybody wants to phrase their marketing campaigns or RFP responses with the language that makes the reader know that this company understands government. And that's fine to a limited extent, but too much of relying on lingo and catchphrases, you know, agile cloud is one great example today. Mobile tech would be another. These are things that if that's all you're talking about in your response, all you're talking about in your marketing campaigns, what customers are telling me, Tom, is they're going to think that's all the company has to offer is catchphrases, and they're going to want to see some meat on the table. They're going to go back to the 1980s and say, where's the beef?
Probably the most important thing that a seller can do is understand what that agency's specific problem is and be able to talk about what it is that's on the agency's mind instead of what's on the marketing department's mind.
Right. I think it'll immediately become clear to most of the people that a contractor sits in front of that you either do or do not understand the particular customer's challenge. Your experience, your reputation, your capabilities that you lay out are all going to indicate whether or not you're a potential good match. So, you know, buzzwords and catchphrases can maybe help you get an initial meeting, but once you're there, you're going to have to show fairly quickly that you understand the itch that needs to be scratched.
And Larry, the third item you've written about that you feel contractors need to know now concerns compliance. What is it they need to know?
Well, Tom, I think the big thing about compliance is that compliance is a company-wide endeavor. And what I mean by that is when I'm teaching classes on some element of contract compliance or business to the government, I see a lot of familiar faces and familiar titles. Contract directors, compliance officers, people like that. What I'm always hoping to see are senior executives from major government contractors, even mid-tier government contractors, because without the buy-in of a senior manager or a senior management team, my experience has told me that compliance is going to be unevenly applied. So this is my recommendation in the newsletter and now to your listeners that nobody's too big for contract compliance. If you're sitting across the table with the Department of Justice attorney, they're not going to say that your title gave you absolution from attending a contract compliance class, quite the contrary. So take some time to make sure that your entire organization understands the importance of staying on the right side of compliance. That way the government writes you checks and you don't have to write checks back to the government.
Because if there's a compliance violation and the government decides it needs to come after you, those senior managers will be involved in a hurry anyhow.
Those senior managers are involved in a hurry, Tom, and sometimes they are hurriedly ushered out the door if they haven't been performing their job function. So there are a couple of reasons to get involved.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. As always, great advice.
Thank you, Tom.